Now to 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 12, 1 Timothy 4, 12. First Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Well, as is well known by now, product placement is a big deal. Product placement in movies and TV shows. And my first exposure to this was back when I was just a kid, and all of a sudden, something happened in our country that made Reese's Pieces very popular. Reese's Pieces were featured in the movie E.T., and sales went through the roof 300% or so. Interestingly, M&M's was offered the opportunity to have their product in the movie E.T. first of all, and turned down that opportunity because they weren't sure that having their product associated with an alien creature, an extraterrestrial, would in fact boost sales at all. And so M&M's wanted nothing to do with the movie E.T. Arguably, actually, the movie E.T. saved Reese's Pieces as a brand, and the reason that they're still available on the shelf now, that the Hershey's is still able to find shelf space for them, goes back to that movie E.T. E.T. did not harm sales at all, rather it helped sales. Well, as we think about 1 Timothy 4, 12 through 16, Paul is inviting Timothy and us to think about whether our being a Christian is a help to the cause of Christ, or is actually a hindrance to the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Timothy, of course, is being addressed here as a young minister. And to this point in the book, of course, Paul has talked with Timothy very directly about making sure that you get the message right, Timothy. Make sure that you conduct affairs in the church correctly. But the reality is that the message can be preached in a true way. Church affairs can be run decently and in order. But the personality of the one doing the preaching can undercut the message that is being proclaimed. Right? Things can be being done well, being done decently and in order, the message being preached, but pastor, I can't hear the message because your life is so out of kilter, it's so out of form with the things that are coming out of your mouth. And that message is true for preachers. And it's true for all of us as believers in Jesus Christ, that our life can undercut the message that we are placed here to share. We struggle with this problem, particularly in Reformed circles, so much so that we have a term for it. When a particularly young man comes to Reformed convictions for the first time, we say that he is in his cage phase. In other words, we kind of hope that that guy is not out talking to other people because he has this tendency to be obnoxious about Calvinism and to drive people away from the scripture instead of presenting truth and living his life in humility in a way that would invite people to examine the scripture more. Paul is instructing Timothy, "Timothy, be careful, because as a young man, you are in danger of being in the cage phase." And the reality is that a man like Timothy, or any preacher of the gospel, or you in witnessing relationships that you're seeking to have, that you can flush years of goodwill down the tubes in just a few short moments. In a few short moments of a bad life example, you can undo lots of gospel goodwill that you have worked to garner. Now, notice in this passage, we need to keep our eye on the ball. The goal, and one of the reasons why we don't just take verse 12 alone, the goal of this sequence in this passage is what? Verse 16. It's salvation for people. That in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. See, some people read verse 12 and stop there and say, see, the goal is, Paul's goal here is that all of you as a congregation would have enough respect for me. I'm the pastor. I'm in charge here. Everybody look up here. Pay attention to me. That's what this is about. No. No. That's not the role of the pastor. That's not our role as believers to draw attention to ourselves. Our goal is to live our lives and to proclaim the message that Christ has given us in such a way that people in the world around would desire to be saved, that they would seek the salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ offers, that the gospel would be attractive to them. And we're going to think this morning about the picture of the gospel. And you can think of it as a photograph, if you will. And the call of this passage for each one of you is that you are to adorn the gospel with your life. Your life is to adorn the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is a message for all of us, but this is particularly a message for the young of this congregation. If you are under the age of 30, let's say, or if you still think you feel very young at 50, you too, all, you know, we're all here to listen, we're all here to learn, but especially the young need to pay attention to the picture that's given here. The picture of the gospel message, the picture of the glory of Jesus Christ as the Savior, and how are you doing in adorning that picture of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, as you know, pictures, when they are taken, can turn out really well or really poorly. We're going to talk this morning through these verses about some of the ways that this picture can turn out poorly and some ways that it can turn out well. Ways that you can detract from the photo, so to speak. And ways that you are called to adorn the photo. Because the reality is, as you all well know, your life can be a discredit to the gospel. Your life can serve to distort the gospel, to detract from it, to take people away from focusing on Christ. Or your life can be an enhancement of, a testimony to, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ unto salvation to all who believe. Your life can be an encouragement to a watching world of faith, an encouragement to place their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's look at some of these ways that the picture can be both messed up, distorted by us, harmed by us, and also ways that we can be a blessing in this picture. The first thing, verse 12, is that we are called to live a gospel-fitting life. Now, as you think about this photograph being shot, think about some great natural scene of natural beauty, some huge maybe rock formation off in the distance. And here you are getting the picture of that giant rock formation. And you look down in your camera, because now we don't, of course, have to wait for the prints to come back to know how we did. And there in the lower left-hand corner of your picture, it's a giant green trash can. One of those 55-gallon barrels with the trash spilling out onto the sidewalk. Your perfect picture of this rock formation has been corrupted. It's been distorted by this trash can that doesn't fit in with what you were trying to capture in the picture. Verse 12, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word and conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Paul is telling Timothy, your life can be like that trash can in the corner of the picture. Your life can serve as something that, instead of causing people to focus in on, wow, what a great rock formation, what a great Savior, your life can be the type of thing that leads people to say, how'd that get in the picture? I didn't even notice the rock formation because there's all this garbage piled up over here in this corner of the picture. And so Paul is urging Timothy, in light of that distortion that can occur, he's saying, live your life in such a way that you don't give ammunition to people who want to despise the Lord Jesus Christ. People who already hate Christ. He's already the rock of stumbling, right? Don't add reasons. Don't be a millstone around the neck of people that would distract them from the glory of Jesus Christ. Instead, you are to set an example among the believers. Now notice, Paul's command here is not focused on, he's not telling Timothy, your next sermon, Timothy, needs to be walk into that church and say, if anybody despises me here, you better shape up. Paul says, don't do it. No, Paul is saying, Timothy, live your life in such a way that no one has reasons to look down on you, even though you're young. People are already going to notice, Timothy, that you're young. People are already going to know that you don't have a lot of experience. But don't give them additional reasons to discount your preaching, to discount your proclamation. Don't give them more reasons than what they already have to do that. And so watch your example. Watch the way that you speak. Watch the way that you act. Watch the way that you relate. Watch the way that you believe. What are you like, Timothy, when hard times come? Does your life evidence faith, trust in God? Watch your life in purity, in your relationships with other people. Make sure that you're walking in purity, in truthfulness, and uprightness, Timothy. Now, if you're following along in the New King James, you may well have noticed that, wait, Pastor, there are six terms there. There's the term in spirit as well. And I don't want to spend a long time on this, but I want to, and you're free to come and ask me questions about this. The reality is that term is just not in the Greek. Okay? So those of you in the New King James, that's why we've skipped over that. There are really five terms here. Now, before those of you who are using the ESV and the NIV and the other, you know, NAS, those translations, before you get all snooty, we'll come back to you in the next verse, because your translation adds something in the next verse. So just hold on, all right? We all have something to be humble about this morning. The point here is that in this picture of the gospel, this glorious picture of Christ, Paul's saying, you know, if there's a tree branch and there's a big piece of trash hanging from that tree branch, that's going to distract and detract from the beautiful landscape photo. And so be an example, Timothy, among the believers. Perhaps this morning, as you think about those five terms, you can think of one or more of those places where you say, you know, my life in this area really does not add to the glory of Christ. You know, I recognize that in the way that I'm relating to people at work, that if this coworker knew that I go to church on Sunday, that would be really embarrassing to me. I haven't behaved in purity in the way that I've treated this person who I work with. With my neighbor, you know, I'm far less than loving in my friendship and in the way that I neighbor towards them. And so ask yourself, does your life fit in with the gospel, or does it detract from the gospel? Well, that's one way that a good picture can get messed up. Having something in that picture that just doesn't belong, that just doesn't fit in, that distracts from the main subject matter of that picture. Well, that's a way that we can be distracting, as it were, off in the corner. But notice verse 13. Secondly, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Sometimes a picture gets messed up because something's off in the corner that doesn't belong. Other times the picture gets messed up because someone photobombs, right? You've all seen these pictures, right? Where it's, you know, here I am. Well, if this is the picture, no, it's not. I am. Well, guess what? As believers, and even as pastor believers, we can do this too. Paul here tells Timothy, Timothy, your attention in ministry is not to be on you. Timothy, you are not the message. The message is the reading, the doctrine, or the exhortation and doctrine. And notice how easy it is for us, even as believers and pastors too, to get off on our own little hobby horses. To be better at selling, if you will, at talking about the things that make my life great, the things that bring happiness to me, whether they be my favorite sports teams, the books I'm reading that I'm enjoying, the vacation that I'm going on, the foods I like to eat, the exercises I like to do, the friends I have, and on the list can go. And it becomes a form of photobombing. You know what's great about my life? Me! I'm great about my life. And that's why Paul urges Timothy, till I come, you make sure that the message that you're preaching is actually coming from the reading, exhortation, doctrine. Now, I told you there's a correction coming for those of you with the ESV, etc. In verse 13, your translation reads something like, give attention to the public reading of Scripture. Now, the translation public reading is defensible. This is a word that is used in the Greek for instance, the public reading of a will. You know, so we all gather together to see who gets the couch, who gets the chairs, who gets the house, you know, all of these sorts of things, okay? That can be a public reading. The word Scripture does not show up, nor is it required by this Greek word. Now, is it fair to say that that's probably what Paul had in mind? I think absolutely. He's not telling Timothy to be a reader of wills. You know, he's not telling him, get a job, until I get there, Timothy, get a job as the town crier. That's not what he's saying. But it's not in the Greek. It's give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And so the point is here that the message that we preach, whether you're a pastor or whether you are talking with other people, we need to make sure that the message that we are sharing is, in fact, a gospel-centered message, not a me-centered message. You and I are not the message. We are not the good news. The Lord Jesus Christ is the good news. Verse 13, therefore, restricts the content of the ministry. Tells us what the ministry ought to look like. However, while it might at first glance sound restrictive, recognize that while the content is prescribed, I can tell you as a preacher, I am so thankful that the content is inexhaustible. And what I mean by that is, I love my hobbies. I really do feel blessed with my life. But the reality is my life is not that entertaining to come here and share about every week. I am not the message, and I'm thankful for that. And you know, the reality is, when I started out as a pastor 15 years ago, at times I thought, well, boy, I'll just preach through the whole Bible so many times over the course of my ministry. And now I start to think, 15 years in, am I going to be able to preach through all 66 books even one time in the course of a lifetime in ministry? I don't know if I'm going to make it. I hope I make it. And you may hope I speed up a little bit so I can make it. But the point is that God has given us the content, and we're not going to exhaust the glories of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. So, Timothy, watch the way that you're living that it fits in with the picture of the gospel, right? Verse 12. Verse 13, Timothy, watch your message to make sure it is the message of the gospel and not the message of Timothy, how great Timothy is. Let no one look down on your youth. Till I come, give attention to reading, exhortation, and doctrine. Verse 14. What's the third way that Timothy can fail to adorn the gospel with his life? Timothy can fail in this third way. Verse 14, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Timothy can fail in this third way by saying, I don't belong in the picture. I don't really want to be in this picture. I'll just hide in the back where no one can see me. And maybe I'll peek out once in a while, but then when I see people are still looking at me, I'll just duck back down, right? And Paul reminds Timothy that there are three reasons why Timothy belongs in the picture, right? Timothy, you've been gifted by God. Timothy, the Holy Spirit has given prophecy about you and about your ministry. Timothy, the elders have examined you and laid their hands on you, setting you apart for this ministry that you're called to. Timothy, you belong in the picture. You know, sometimes we might get together with extended family and take 20, 30, 50 pictures, you know, with 30 people in the picture. And you get to the end, and you think you've got a good picture, and lo and behold, you find out that there's somebody who thought they were a lot taller than they are. And they're standing right behind, you know, someone else who's exactly the same height or maybe just a little shorter. Yeah, we can see your hair. That's really nice for our family picture. And we're back to square one. We don't have a picture of the whole family, do we? Because you wouldn't make sure that you could see the camera. Paul here says, is saying to Timothy, Timothy, you do have a role. And so one of the temptations for you and for me is to say, you know, I'm just not good enough. There are other people in the church who are more attractive. There are other people in the church whose lives bear witness, and I'm not one of them. And so I'm content to just be in the back, hidden away from view. But it doesn't work that way, brothers and sisters. You have been saved and called with a holy calling. 2 Timothy 1:9, just across the page for most of you. Not according to your works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before time began. You've been saved and called with a calling. Guess who decided that you belong in the family picture? Not you, not me, but a loving Heavenly Father said, I want you in the picture. I want you in the picture adorning the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You belong in my family picture. You are my sons and my daughters. So Paul's saying to Timothy and to us, don't ruin the picture by not showing up for the picture. Don't ruin the picture by hiding out instead of being in the picture, because you belong in the picture. God has called you to this, Timothy. So far, three ways that we can mess up the picture. We can be like the trash can in the corner. We can be the photo bomber in the middle. We can be the person who doesn't show up for the picture, who hides away where we can't see that person. The fourth way that we can mess up the picture, verse 15, is by being someone who says, you know, just Photoshop me in from last year. Photoshop me in from 20 years ago. I still look the same. See, if the message of the gospel is that Jesus Christ died to save his people from their sins, to give us victory, to lead us in victory over sin, to sanctify us, to send us the Holy Spirit so that he might make us look more and more like him, putting his imprint on us. See, a fourth way then that we can completely undercut the message is by being someone who doesn't make progress. There's nothing quite as wearying as a preacher who isn't progressing himself. Right? We think of that old proverb, physician, go heal yourself. Who are you to preach a message of change through Jesus Christ to us if your life shows no evidence of progress itself? Verse 15, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all. See, our lives are to be a picture to the world of gospel progress. Christ purchased me in order to transform me. And in order to transform me in every area of life, not so that I can look the same as I did as a non-Christian, not so that my sanctification can look the same as it did 10 years ago, but so that I might be growing up in him. And so don't mess up the picture by being in the picture, but saying, here's the gospel. But see, it doesn't actually change people. See how great Jesus is? But he doesn't really change people. That's a detrimental involvement in the picture. So those are four ways that Paul outlines that Timothy is to be involved in adorning the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Adorn the gospel by being a good example in all areas of life. Adorn the gospel by making the proclamation of the gospel your primary focus. Make that the message that you're delivering, Timothy. Adorn the gospel by using the gift that's been given to you. You belong in the picture. Get in the picture. Get busy adorning. Adorn the gospel, Timothy. Adorn it by making progress. By through your life proclaiming Jesus Christ actually transforms people. He has the power to save to the uttermost. And then verse 16 is the verse that wraps this all together for us. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. See, we could read these previous four verses, and we could be very tempted to say, well, this is just a section of Scripture that tells us to be a better person. It's just a bunch of good works. Just go out and be a better person than you were last week. But notice that verse 16 draws our attention into the great privilege that we have. And the great privilege that you and I have, brothers and sisters, is that you are not only invited and welcomed by God the Father into the picture, but you are used by God to bring glory to Jesus Christ to bring glory to Jesus Christ unto the salvation of others. Paul's saying, as you do this, Timothy, you're working out your own salvation with fear and trembling, and God is going to use this to draw others into the picture of the gospel as well. So this is great news. Why should you rejoice this morning? Number one, you're in the picture. If your name is written in the book of life, you are in the picture. If you're trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, you can say, I get to be in the family picture. Most of us don't think of big family pictures as a blessing. We like to have them to hang them, but not to be in them. In this case, it's a great blessing to be in the picture. I get to be in the picture. Second reason you and I ought to rejoice, though, is we're not the focus of the picture. Aren't you glad that salvation for the world doesn't depend on you being the star of the family picture, so to speak? Aren't you glad this morning that you're not the message? You know, as great as Cubs baseball and Purdue basketball and lemon meringue pie and banana cream pie and my Pandora station are, those don't save any people from their sins. It's a good thing that I'm not the message, that I'm not the center of the picture, but that there's a God-man who is the center of the picture. And it's also such a blessing, then, we also rejoice, because we who were dead in trespasses and sins, we who were at enmity with God, who hated the gospel message, that God can actually transform us enough that we are actually able to adorn the gospel in a fruitful way, in a helpful way. And that can only take place if the Holy Spirit is at work in us. This is the glory of our Savior. This is the glory of the salvation that God is working in you, is that He can take people who are completely alien and hostile to the gospel and transform you and have assets in the picture. People out of His goodness to you actually are able to point the way in a helpful way to people, to our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. See, the reality is, this is part of life purpose, isn't it? Where we can say, if I actually have the privilege of pointing others to Christ, that makes my life worth living. That's reason, that's good reason for me to pursue holiness, for me to pursue honoring the Lord. If I can really be used by God to draw others to faith in Christ. If you're in Jesus Christ this morning, that's reason enough to give thanks. I've been included in the family picture. I'm not a detriment to the picture, but in fact, Christ is using me to adorn His message to the world. But the reality is that there may be some of you here this morning who struggle with and say, you know, I'm not good enough to be in the family picture. And maybe you've been coming to this church for a decade or more. And you say, I look around and I see a lot of people in the church who are good enough to be in the family picture. And I've tried and I've tried. But I can't get over the feeling of feeling like I'm the trash can in the corner. I can't get over the feeling of just feeling like I'll never really belong. And I keep trying. I really am trying. Well, the message of 1 Timothy 4:12 through 16 to you is to stop trying and to start believing. Because what's described here is not a work that anyone in this room can or ever has done on their own. You can read all the great Christian biographies that you want, and none of them, at least none of the true ones, can tell you this person was able to adorn the gospel of Jesus Christ on their own. This is the day of rest. And the message of rest for you, if you've been trying and trying, is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And He will send you and give you the fullness of the Holy Spirit. He will conform you into His image, His likeness. He will transform you from glory to glory. He will welcome you into the picture. And He will make it and transform you so that you indeed are an adornment to that picture. Brothers and sisters, it's an astonishing truth. But we started out this morning talking about product placement. And the reality is if it were up to any of us, I think just looking at human nature, looking at struggles with sin, we would take the approach of the M&M company. And we would say, there's no way that this placement, that placing me in the picture with Jesus, will in any way enhance the gospel. There's no way that putting me in the picture will bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. But praise God that He sees and understands and knows the work that He can do in each one of us. And that He has taken on that task, He's committed to it, and that He, like Reese's Pieces, says, I actually can adorn my gospel through including people like you and me. That's a testimony to His power. It's a testimony to His grace. It's a testimony to His goodness. Praise God that we are in the family picture. And not just in the family picture as outcasts, but that we are in the picture as those who by grace can adorn the great and glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. May God give us grace as we seek to live lives and to proclaim a message that glorifies our Lord and Savior. Amen. Our Lord and our God, we are so blessed to have been called by You out of darkness into Your marvelous light. We are so blessed to have been taken from death into life, to have been taken from enmity with You to friendship and even a family relationship with You. And Lord, we're so thankful that You have seen fit not to just call us servants, but to call us friends and to welcome us into this picture of the gospel. Lord, we confess that there are many times where through our disobedience to you, through walking in impurity, through speaking unkind words, angry words, mocking words, proud words, selfish words, that we've undercut the message. And Lord, we know that it's only by grace that we've been brought into the picture, and it's only by grace that we're kept in the picture. But we thank you that your grace is sufficient for us, that your strength is made perfect in our weakness. Lord, we don't begin to understand how people with struggles, people like us, can bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious message of the gospel of salvation. But you've said it, you've called us to it, and we pray that we would walk in your ways, and we pray that our lives would in some way magnify Christ and point others to him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that there would be people who, because of our lives, would indeed find salvation, salvation through Christ and him alone. Amen.